This is Upstate's Health Link on Air, Linda Cohen along with you. As our country becomes increasingly diverse, with more and more people with different value systems and traditions, our healthcare system is being asked to respond to that diversity in order to improve treatment outcomes and patient satisfaction. Dr. Luis Castro is a clinical associate professor in the Department of Family Medicine at Upstate Medical University and the medical director of the Westside Family Health Center and Maternal Child Pediatric Center of St. Joseph's Hospital in Syracuse, and is joining us with more on this very important topic. Welcome, Dr. Castro. Thanks for coming in.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
So we've got so many more people in this country of different backgrounds, different cultures, and I think we've become more sensitive to the fact that those differences can affect healthcare delivery. In your experience, in what way do you think cultural differences affect healthcare delivery?
There's no question that patients from other countries who are limited English speaking have a lot of barriers to care. The cultural and language barrier is the most obvious one. They can't communicate effectively with their providers. So they're reluctant to maybe do that. They don't tend to go to their doctors for routine preventative care. They're only motivated to go when they're ill, when they're sick, when it affects their ability to, let's say, work or take care of the family. So they don't really understand or really value the importance of preventative care.
So what is, when we talk about this notion of cultural competence, that's, or cultural proficiency, that's been a term that's been bandied about a lot of late. What do we mean?
You know, cultural competency or proficiency is sort of a three-tier thing. One is the ability to understand or to communicate across a language barrier. It also entails the ability to understand different cultural beliefs and, you know, traditions and things of that nature, and to use that understanding to better take care of patients.
So it's important because it allows for what?
Well, better communication. It allows us to communicate with our patients better. And probably the biggest issue is to obtain that sort of trust from the patient. Patients who gather a trust and an esteem for their provider are going to be much more compliant and value what you're telling them.
And so you yourself have focused, or you've had the opportunity in your current position to see a variety of cultures, or primarily one? Who are you working with largely?
The office I primarily work at, the Westside Family Health Center, is on the near west side of Syracuse. And probably about 60% of our population is Latino, Hispanic. A lot of Cuban, Puerto Rican, Dominican refugees.
So even though they all speak Spanish, they may have cultural differences, am
Absolutely.
I correct?
Yeah, yes. There's definitely different differences from country to country. On the other side, about 30% of our patients are refugees. So we get refugees from Somalia, the Sudan, Ukraine, Russia, Turkey. We're getting a lot of the new Burmese refugees. We have a lot of Southeast Asian patients on the north side. So it really
is United Nations.
It's very much a multicultural mix, no question.
Yeah, so that's very challenging, I would think.
Challenging, absolutely, but also really interesting. I think because of what we do, the diversity is what really makes it very appealing.
Tell me some... You feel like, obviously, the first thing you mentioned was the language limitation, because that's obviously the most apparent or surface thing that we have to deal with. How do you attempt to deal with that kind of thing first? I mean, you can't have someone who speaks every single dialect in every single language in one small health center.
So absolutely.
How do you deal with it?
You know, there's no question you can't speak all the languages. We obviously, if we don't speak a specific language, most of my staff is bilingual for Spanish, but I'm not fluent in Somali, Russian, you know, these other languages. So we use medically trained interpreters, either in person or via language line. And that really does help bridge some of the communication gap. I also find as you get to know these patients, get to know their culture, even if you learn a few words in their own language, you're not fluent by any means, but that shows to the patient that you value and respect their culture. And it really, you can just see how things, it just warms the environment so much more. Again, builds a little bit of that confidence and trust.
Yeah, it breaks through that barrier,
absolutely.
I would think. But as you're being fluent, obviously, in Spanish, tell us how that impacts on how you treat people who are Spanish speaking. I mean, your knowledge of the language seems to me to have a huge impact in terms of the nuances of language and the nuances of what people are meaning when they say things.
Absolutely. It really enhances the encounter for the patient. It makes the patients feel much more comfortable, much more trusting other provider, especially with Latinos. And this is obviously generalization, but Latinos really want to have a relationship with their provider. I have patients who, you know, honor me by saying, you know, I don't just look at you as my physician. I look at you as part of my family.
Really?
You know, and you take care of my whole family. You deliver my children and you take care of my family. That's really the biggest payoff you can have as a provider, I think, that people look at you that way and have that trust. And that, you know, obviously you have that responsibility to the patients.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air. I'm Linda Cohen. I'm here with Dr. Louise Castro, and we're talking about the importance of cultural competence in healthcare delivery. So obviously language is crucial, but how is a provider, well, let me first say, how do you see the value of understanding a culture in terms of the outcomes? I mean, tell me some of the things that you see come to fruition as a result of your understanding.
Certainly, certain cultures look at healthcare differently. Many cultures, especially if they're coming from a third world country, the idea of going to the doctor for a preventative visit, a routine healthcare visit, is completely foreign. The concept is foreign. You know, they say, why should I go see the doctor if I feel well? I have no symptoms. I'm feeling, why should I be here? So it's difficult to sort of teach them what the value of that is. And the way we do that is we really sort of use our role as an authority figure our influence to say, you know, you trust in that I'm here for you and that I'm looking out for your well-being. So let me explain to you why these things are important. And, you know, they buy into it more if you either speak their language or make the effort to learn about their language and culture. And every culture is different about how they look at health and healthcare. Most are just motivated by symptom-like disease and not symptomless. So we have to sort of engage them in other ways. In other words, saying, well, you know, what you're telling me is, you know, you need to work, you need to provide for your family. That's important as, you know, as a provider. Well, if you're not healthy or you become ill, you won't be able to do those things. And they go, well, yeah, you're right. So I better stay healthy and I need you to help me to stay healthy. And then we build on that.
Does it take you a long time, though, when you're, I mean, in your own experience now with the diversity of patients that you're seeing, to learn about individual cultures? Or how would you go about doing, I guess what I'm saying is, how do you, in your current circumstance, become culturally competent? Obviously, in the Hispanic area, you may have some of your own background to lean on. But even there, you have people coming from different countries. Where are you from originally? I mean, you were born in America.
No, actually, I was born in Medellin, Colombia.
Oh.
My family emigrated to the States when I was quite young, Queens, New York, when I was four. So I was schooled in the U.S. But I'm actually born from Colombia and still have a lot of family there. So that's a big thing to patients because they immediately ask, where are you from? And when they find out, oh, you know, from a certain country, then that right away knocks down a lot of barriers. You know, so a lot of what we do with the patients, we don't ask medical stuff initially. The first thing is, where are you from or where's your family from and who's in your family? Who's with you today? And we incorporate everybody into the room and that builds a lot of rapport, you know.
It sounds like it would be true not just of people who are from different cultures, but for all people coming for healthcare to have that kind of inclusiveness.
Absolutely. And I think one of the luxuries I always say about being a primary care physician is that we don't just see the patient one time. We see them regularly over time. I do a lot of prenatal care in my office, so I see the women over 10 months period. And obviously you develop a real tight connection with them and trust. And being a family doctor, I take care of the children, the adults, the grandparents, the aunts and uncles, cousins. So you have a lot of encounters with the patients, and they really do a lot of teaching me, obviously, what is their culture about and what they're comfortable with and what they expect.
Do you find that there's a lot of distrust initially? And what would be the, you know, what criteria, what would be the contributing factors to that? For example, I'm thinking of some refugees coming from, you know, some difficult circumstances and coming to this country might be somewhat less trusting, for example. What's your experience there?
No question. That's very much true. I mean, refugee by definition is someone who's being displaced from their country, not voluntarily, but against their will because of some persecution, because of politics or religion. So these patients are typically coming from a very stressful situation in their homeland. They didn't really want to leave their country. They were sort of forced to. And many have been exposed to, either directly or have witnessed, some type of violence or some type of abuse.
So there's a potential of trauma, PTSD kinds of things.
Very much so. So they often come in very traumatized. And if you can imagine taking someone, let's say, from a refugee camp in Kenya and bring them to Syracuse in the middle of the winter.
Oh, goodness.
They've never seen
snow. Talk
about
shock therapy.
It is shock. It's a deep cultural shock. So it adds to some of that. So oftentimes, I like to think that our office is one of the first places that they feel safe. They feel comfortable. We don't have a secondary agenda. We really just want to take care of them. And that takes time. Initially, there is that issue of trust, and I think we build that over time, and that really leads to much better compliance, and we've seen that.
What do you see the role of women in the variety of cultures, or I know I'm not asking you to make a sweeping generalization, but how women are often, at least in America, the people who are the kind of hold the keys to the family, so to speak, and making sure that healthcare is continued and followed up on and all that. How do you see the role of women in the variety of cultures that you come across? Yeah.
You know, I would say it's almost universal, regardless of where you're from, that the maternal figure is really the center person, the decision maker in the home. Oftentimes, the father is not in the home or not involved in the family, so it's often the maternal figure who is decision maker. And it may not be the mother, it may be a grandmother, it may be an aunt, a sister. And it's really, I've learned over time that it's really important to get that person involved with all the decision making that you're having for your patients. And to hopefully get them on board, and also to also accept what their judgments are, and which may not always be what maybe we think in Western medicine, but to also appreciate that there's some things that they're bringing from their culture that they want to have respected, that they want to have, you know, done, and we need to sort of come to a compromise on that.
Yeah, that's something that really strikes me is where it could be a stumbling block for you or a pitfall. On the other hand, it also could be an elevating kind of thing or an enriching kind of thing to see what their belief systems are, or what their expectations are from their culture.
Absolutely. And I think it's important as providers that we be open to that, that we, you know, we don't take the paternalistic view of, you know, I'm your doctor, I'm your provider, I know better than you and you should just listen to me. Because realistically, they're going to take half of what you say and throw it out the door, and they're going to listen to their aunt or their grandmother, whoever is the true decision maker. That's why I always like to include them in the conversation, so that we come to a certain general agreement. It may not be everything that we want, but we try to do. Let's just do what's best for the patient, and obviously, no harm is possible.
How do you work on things like if you find there's a certain level of superstition as part of their belief system with regarding illness, for example? The concept of they did something wrong, therefore they're being affected with some illness. I mean, yeah. How do you get through that kind of bias or that kind of...
It's a challenge. A lot of our patients, their cultural sort of philosophy is very fatalistic. You know, that many things happen because it's God's will.
Yes, exactly.
Nothing that I can do or you can do is going to really change that. And, you know, we do encounter some issues there. I try the best I can to say that, maybe it's God's will that you're here and that you have access to care and that we can actually do something
I like that.
For you.
It's a great way of approaching it.
You know that maybe before in your own country you have to accept that whatever happens. So it's possible that maybe you're here because of God's will as well. That doesn't always work, but I do try to use that as an argument.
It sounds like a really good one. Tell me, in your own experience, tell us a little bit about your training. I know that you did a special fellowship. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I was really fortunate to take part in a National Hispanic Medical Association fellowship a year ago, which recruited young Latino physicians, about mid-career physicians, 5 years or more in practice, to spend a year-long training about, public health issues. We focused a lot on Latino populations, but not just Latino populations, but patients with health disparities, especially with the issue of nutrition and obesity, which is an epidemic problem. And we got to do a lot of work in Washington, D.C. and NYU to learn about how to engage on a public health forum.
Yeah, it always strikes me that things like education are probably as big a part of your job in this capacity as anything. I mean, you know, the concept of a really fat baby is a healthy baby, and maybe that isn't exactly the best thing going down the road kind of thing. And those kinds of concepts need to be addressed and people need to be educated. So if you were to say across cultures, what would you say the single unifying thing that you could say about all the different diverse cultures that you see in terms of what your needs are? I mean, what you offer in terms of improving outcomes?
Well, you're absolutely right about the issue about, nutrition and, a big baby is a healthy baby. you know, we re-engage the patients regardless of what where they're from into getting into the office to get their health care because that's going to be better for them and for their family. And we do that over time with building trust.
Well, this is such a big discussion. We could go on and on and on. I'm afraid that we are running out of time. I'll just say that I so appreciate what you're doing, and hopefully that more and more medical schools are training students with this kind of concept of cultural competency and proficiency so that when they go out and help individuals from different cultures, they have that kind of sophistication that you're obviously bringing to the task. I want to thank you for coming in and talking with us today. My guest has been Dr. Luis Castro, a clinical associate professor in the Department of Family Medicine at Upstate Medical University, and he's the medical director of the West Side Family Health Center and Maternal Child Pediatric Center of St. Joseph's Hospital in Syracuse. I'm Linda Cohen, and you're listening to Upstate's Health Link on Air.